slash Finance Committee meeting for October 9th, 2012. We do not yet have a quorum in the room, but I want to recognize the folks that are here. Councilmember Diller, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Kilpatrick. We cannot have a motion on the minutes. Does anybody know where these council members are? Anybody? Some coming down the hallway.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Here comes Bob. Here's one.
I thought I heard some working on the other side of the hall trying to expand their room over there. I'm not sure.
I'd also like to recognize Councilman Weiner has joined us.
I hope that's on.
And Councilmember Diller's legislative aide Renee is taking the notes for the meeting today. I'm going to wait for a few moments. Hopefully, we'll have some more council members join us at the table.
You didn't have to hurry.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was going to be late.
No, right.
You were, but it doesn't matter.
And visiting nursing association, visiting nurse association for my mother-in-law. She's having a lot of falls in this town.
Who's that?
My mother-in-law. We're retrofitting the house.
Oh,
physical
boy.
Therapist, occupational therapist.
What's that?
You okay?
We need to start changing the
time. No, but I'm fine.
But you keep it the same.
I didn't say all right. I said okay.
It's the revenue roundtable discussion.
One, two, three,
oh my God.
Four, five. Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Put one over here for President. Go back.
Anybody else is talking?
No. Reddit here.
Reddit and Sheldon are here.
Just keep going. Yeah.
Are they green?
Friday, she never elected a cardiologist to counsel.
Who's a cardiologist?
That's what I said we should. Might be late for my heart. But I get one.
Do you have a heart?
I said when I get one.
Oh.
I said when I get one. They already did a newspaper article.
They did. They already
did a lot of it.
So. I just said lobotomy. We're going to start from the top and work down.
Well, I'm going to make the meeting go forward. Other council members will join us as we go through this. We cannot have a motion on the minutes. We do not have a quorum. We're going to move on to the consent calendar. We have nothing on a consent calendar. Other resolutions. Resolution 12-147, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, this is for the document technology systems in the Recorder Deeds Office. It's the annual renewal of the maintenance and support fee contract.
Any questions from members of council? I have a question. I assume this is a single source contract for software support.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any questions?
Question. If
yes,
we have the time to do it. What does this document technology systems track record software do?
I don't think there's anybody
it just
here
from
it, but it's for maintenance.
We have
okay. Because this is for the Recorder Deeds.
Mm-hmm.
For the Recorder, as I said, for the Recorder Deeds
okay.
systems for their tracking the information.
Okay.
Did you want to say something, Yvonne, on the record?
Oh, Yvonne Gord, Chief of Administrative Services. I was just going to share. It's the to maintain the software for Recorder Deeds Office, as it says in the document,
mm-hmm.
so that they can make updates, adjustments, changes,
right.
and maintenance. Because we don't maintain it; that vendor does maintain
mm-hmm.
that software. It's their product.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, members of council? Anybody from anybody in the room here? Okay, moving on. Resolution 12-148. I'm going to handle this. Approving the refund of sewer fees paid in error. In the course of business with the county, we find that from time to time we are refunding certain fees. In this case, the sewer fee paid in error. Can somebody from the department offer a little explanation about this on the record?
Right. Ed Melowicki from the finance office. This individual, when she set up to pay the sewer payment for her banking online, I guess he checked the wrong box. He checked the recurring payment. So every month they were taking this money out of her checking account and paying it to the county. And we realized and contacted her that she had this large credit on her sewer bill. And she thanked us for refunding her money for it. So, but she just had it kept on coming as a recurring payment every month instead of once a year payment for the annual residential sewer bill. So.
Okay. Thank you for that, being alert to that issue. And I'm sure she's... We made her day. with that, we're going to move along. Are there any questions from members of council on that refund of sewer fee paid in error? Any from anybody in the room here from the public? All right, ordinance, we have none. Item J, K, and L, we have none. Moving on to other CFO checkbook presentation.
Okay. Thank you. What we plan to do is to give the revenue update for the county for the first 3 months of the fiscal year.
But please identify yourself.
Ed Melowicki from the finance office. We'll be doing a presentation of the first 3 months of revenue we received, and then we'll be looking at the checkbooks for both the general and sewer fund. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Russ Morris and Dave Del Grande to review the revenue activity.
Thank you, Ed. Good afternoon. My name is Russ Morris from the Office of Finance. Appreciate the opportunity to come here and give a little update on where we are with our revenues so far for this fiscal year. Let's just get the presentation started. Now, the revenue budget for the general fund is $166.6 million this year. So far, we've collected approximately 106.8. That was as of September 30th. Of course, a big chunk of that is the property taxes that come in during the month of September. And we have adjusted the overall revenue estimate slightly downward for this year. And you'll see that as we move through the presentation. Right now, we're looking at about 165.8 as our total revenue estimate. One of the big things, of course, it's very variable, is the real estate transfer tax revenue. Last year, we started off with a bang for the first 3 months. We had several large sales, and you can see on the chart where we have several of them mentioned, such as the Pike Creek Nursing Home, the Stafford Apartments, one of the office buildings at Bellevue Office Center. We've also started off this year very strong. First State Office Plaza sold in July. We had several large sales last month. And as a matter of fact, the last week of September, we were just like jumping for joy every time we got a fax from the Recorder Feeds office. Very large apartment complex, Pike Creek Apartments sold, a building in Pencader Corporate Center. Pathmark on Lancaster Avenue sold. And some medical offices in Stanton. And when as I was putting this chart together, it reminded me, and I had to go back over one of the charts that I had worked on several years ago, that exact same Pathmark sold 3 years ago. So here they are back in our RTT. You can see that we've already increased the estimate by $250,000. So it's gone from... $16,250,000 to right now $16,500,000. We continue to do well, and we'll be looking at probably increasing this estimate as we develop the further estimates when we have all the information for this month.
Just one item I want to comment. Right before we did this presentation, we were notified there was $34 million last week in real estate transactions with 16 parcels. Unfortunately, those properties were in the town of Middletown.
Oh.
It's about $500,000 of revenue that Middletown will gain from the RTT. I guarantee if we probably go back 10 years or 15 years, I assume that property at one point in time was Newcastle County's property and it got annexed along the way. So, but that's a half million. We'll get about $50,000 or $60,000 for handling the transaction as a fee, but we will not see any of that RTT. So it's $34 million in transactions, about $600,000 and RTT, we lose because of that.
Yeah. We were hoping to have an extraordinary October. So far, October is good. Yeah. We have had one large transaction that's in the county. It's a smaller apartment complex, Spring Run Apartments, I think, just outside of Newark. So we're off to a very good start for this month, and we hope things continue that way. This is a chart, it's a slight modification of a chart that you've seen in the past. In the past, when I've taken the over $5 million sales and washed them out so that I can show the RTT as a percentage of the median month, I was using the median month that would include all the large sales. I decided this year to do something slightly different. Those columns represent the median months, but I've subtracted the over $5 million sales from them. And they go back for 4 years. Yeah. So this is what's happened since 2008. In other words, this is the new normal. This is what we would expect on an ordinary month-to-month basis. So you would expect to see right about 100%. And the way our RTT estimate is set up, we assume that we're going to get 100% of the median month, excluding large sales, every single month, and then you're going to get a few large sales totaling somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.6 million throughout the year. As you can see, we are very close to the 100%, and in fact, in August, we went significantly above 100%. And if I were to add in the over $5 million sales, including the ones that we saw last week, we'd be at $1.6 million. So in the first 4 months, we've seen the over $5 million sales that we would normally expect to see throughout the year. It's one of the reasons why we've already raised this estimate once, and we'll be looking at, hopefully, another increase. Virtually every aspect of the real estate transfer tax has been positive during the first quarter. You can see in terms of overall transactions, we're up 12%. The exemptions for the first-time home buyers were up 10%. Transactions under $500,000 were up another 10%. Transactions between $500,000 and $1 million were up 48%. Transactions between $1 million and $5 million, and this is the thing that really helped drive the August numbers higher, 76.92%. And transactions over $5 million were up by only one. Yeah. And actually, that should say 25% there, not 50%, because some of those transactions that I've combined are actually the 1 to 5 million. The Stanton Medical Offices, there's three separate transactions. And I had originally combined them together, so adjusted that. But here's a list of where I've kept the Stanton Medical Offices in here, because there were three offices sold all at the same time, and even though they were three separate sales, they do make a fairly large chunk. And you can see that we've had some fairly large sales here in the first quarter, totaling almost $1.5 million, compared to last year's $1 million. And this doesn't include that small apartment complex that I mentioned that we sold, that was sold just last week. So hoping that this continues to look good as we move through the year. Overall, we're very positive about the direction that RTT is in. You've read in the newspapers, you've seen on TV, there's a comeback in the housing market. And that seems to be born in what we're seeing in RTT. Service charges. As you can see, this is a little bit different story. Since we're a quarter of the way through the year, you'd expect to be at 25% now after the first 3 months. We're certainly not at 25% on all of these. Sheriff's Commission and Sheriff's Fees, we'll cover this in more detail, we're about 15% on the year. We're dropping the estimate on sheriff's commissions as a result of what we've seen during the first 3 months of the year. Deeds is doing fairly well, 27%. Corporate filing fees, 23%. That's just about where you'd expect to be. Subdivision review is also fairly low. 911 reporting fees, exactly at the 25%, exactly where we'd expect to be. Recorder of deeds. Now, just as there's a boom market right now for housing, that represents a boom, again, for the recorder of deeds office. Some of this is housing sales. Some of it is refinancing. There's been yet another push in the marketplace for people to come in for refinancing because, you know, I was saying just last week, how many times can I see, you know, an article in the paper that says, you know, record low rates for mortgages? They really can't drop too much lower. But those people that have held off getting refinancing, you know, a lot of them came into the market in the past month and a half. We're starting to see refinancing offers come, refinancing papers come through the Recorder of Deeds office. That's gone up. We're looking at it. We might be, you know, increasing the revenue estimate for the Recorder of Deeds as we move through the year. Certainly it's looking very healthy right now. This is not looking healthy. Sheriff's revenue. Now we can remember what happened last year. Now, in January, the mandatory mortgage mediation program set up by the state of Delaware kicked in. And you can see the sharp drop-off in sheriff sales. Now, on the positive side, this means that more homeowners are remaining in their home because they're not, you know, being foreclosed upon. However, the number of modifications that have come out of the Attorney General's office and the number that they reported as of the end of June was very nominal. So in other words, it's not a solution yet. Those houses are still underwater. They're still in danger of being foreclosure. It's just that the foreclosure process is not moving forward on that. Most of the foreclosures that we've seen have been non-residential or investor-owned properties. Now, there's always a time lag between when the sheriff sales are and when the revenues are realized by Newcastle County. And you'll see this here, and this the drop-off that we saw, the mandatory mediation program starts in January, we see a sudden drop-off. And it's the sales around April and May that are feeding the revenues right now. And even though there has been an increase in the number of sales, which will get us close to the monthly budget line as we move through the year, we don't expect to see it going well above the budget line because we're not going to see, you know, the 300 setups a month that we were seeing last year. We're only averaging about 130 to 170 setups right now, which means that the individual sales are going to be lower. So we have dropped that. Now, I can update this just a little bit. I had an email just before I drove over here, and the number of sheriff sales today, and I don't have it broken down by third party and buybacks, was 76 properties sold at the sheriff sale today. So that would be about in the middle of what we've seen so far for this year. And that's what we expect, you know, until anything changes, you know, at the statewide level with the mandatory mortgage mediation program. It's going to be 70 to 80, possibly as high as 90 in a given month, but it's not going to fluctuate much higher than that. So we took a drop, $600,000, and the estimated revenue for the sheriff's office, because we expect them to meet budget line later on, but certainly they'll not recover the lost revenue during the first 3 months of this year.
I want to take a little pause here. I want to take care of some housekeeping, because we have reached the quorum. I'd like to recognize Councilman Reddis in the room and Council President Kovac. What is? I'd like
motion to approve the minutes of 9/18/12.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Thank you. Let's move on.
Okay. Zoning and subdivision review. Remember, this was another one of the areas where we saw, less than budgeted revenues for the first quarter. This is a continuation of what we saw last year. We had some feedback from members at the NICFAC meeting that this is exactly what the banking community is seeing, that there is money available for people that are building projects, but not necessarily for subdivision projects right now. We haven't reduced the budget estimate for this category because it can change very rapidly. But certainly if this persists into the next quarter, we'll be making an adjustment in this revenue estimate before the next presentation to council. Just as a background, last year during the first quarter, and when I say large, these are really just medium-sized subdivision review projects, anything over $25,000. Last year there was one for $29,000. This year we've had zero. Last year the largest subdivision review project that was received was for AI DuPont Hospital, and that came in I believe October. That was around $130,000. And of course the permits, building permits fees for that came in January and gave us a big boost in permit fees. So this year we certainly haven't seen anything approaching that. Building permit fees, though, is positive. This is the flip side. We could only get all the revenue sources from land use going, in the right direction up each time rather than one being up, one being down. Last year we saw an increase, certainly in commercial construction. I only listed AI DuPont there as responsible for that enormous spike in January. And it's true, that was the largest part of that spike. But there were two other significant projects, Pandia Silverside Rehabilitation and the Armed Forces Center at the airport. Both two fairly large projects, both of them in January. The latter half of the year, that was mostly increases in residential construction. And last year, we also saw a banner year in multi-residential units, condominiums and apartment complexes, 15 separate permits for that. And that's all folded into those numbers. Now, there was over $200,000 in permits there, and their budget is $12,000 a year. Some years we get zero, some years we get 200. Last year was a banner year for multi-residential. And this says is the same tale. You can see last year we did fairly well in the commercial construction. Multi-residential was 15 projects. That was enormous. We just hadn't seen that before. And we did see an increase in the single-family construction and in the townhouse construction. Compare that to this year. Again, we're seeing fairly good numbers for single-family units, certainly compared to last year, and townhouse units and the commercial construction all are doing well right now. And when I looked at this, it struck me that this was the first time that I had seen 4 months in a row with single-family permits. 40 is actually a high number of the median over the past several years. And so I went back to 2007, and I charted the single-family permits that were issued. And you can see, 2007 and the first part of 2008, we had quite a few months. In fact, it was the norm that you would see more than 40 single-family permits being issued. After the recession hit, you can see in 2009, not a single one. 2010, 2 months. 11, just 1 month. But then we've had 4 months in a row in which we've had, 40 or more single-family dwelling permits. So this is a good sign that, it's not a complete recovery in the housing market, but it certainly is looking a lot better over the past construction season than we've seen in the past 2 years. One of the hopeful signs. Major commercial building permits. Again, last year everybody, we kept focusing on the AI DuPont Hospital. That was over $600,000 in building permits. Rarely do we see something that large. But we did start off the year with some of the smaller projects. A build-out of Governor's Square, 33, Duxwood Plaza 25. And again, we've had some smaller projects this year. Kutz Home Assisted Living and Bellevue Corporate Center. So we're actually ahead of last year in major construction projects. There's been one apartment complex that we've received permits for so far this year to the tune of 18,000. I really doubt we'll see 15. Like we saw last year, that was just very, very unusual. Moving from the general fund into the sewer fund, this is shows us where we would expect to be for the non-residential sewer collection. Now, the budget for non-residential sewer collection is 7.8 per quarter. For the entire year, it's 31,400,000. Against the 7.8 million, we took in the past quarter 7.4, so we were slightly under. And this is about where we were last year. We were slightly under in our commercial collections, slightly over in residential, and we made up for it in the delinquent collections. We're seeing the same thing this year. The delinquent collections, in fact, are making up the difference. So overall, in sewer charges, whether they're current or delinquent, we're about where we expected to be during the first quarter. It's just that non-residential, again, attributable to the slowdown in the general business in the middle part of the year, we're seeing slightly lower numbers for sewer collections in the latter half of the year. The next two are yours.
Okay, we're going to look at the checkbook now, at least through September. For 2013, the gold or yellow sheeted. Right now, as Rustin mentioned, a lot of our revenues are still early in the fiscal year to see exactly where we're going to end up. Same thing on the expenditure side. I mean, depending on gasoline, what type of winter we have. But overall, we're looking we're saying we're going to end up about $200,000 on the plus side right now. Again, too early to tell what we're going to end up. We don't know of anything that's going to cause us a budget shortfall right now, but we still have 9 months of the fiscal year to go. Going over to the next fiscal year, though, 2014, you'll see the negative $4.5 million shortfall we are projecting for next year, the next fiscal year. Back in the, I guess, early summer, that number was about $6.2 million instead of the 4.5. We did a bond refinancing, if you remember, back in August. So we lowered that number by $1.7 million from 6.2 to 4.5. And the same thing for fiscal year 2015, the 8.1. Back in June, that number was 9.8 million shortfall. So we have lowered those shortfalls in 2014 and 2015, primarily due to the bond refinancing, which is a good thing. The unfortunate thing is we still have negatives gone from 2014 through 2017 every fiscal year. Our revenues do not keep up with our expenditure growth. Same old story there. If you look at the revenues growth for 2014, we're saying flat revenue growth for next fiscal year. We are showing some revenue increases, 2.5, 2.5, 2.6 going out every fiscal year, but if you go down to expenditures, you continue to see our revenue growth, 4.86 million, 5.6, and 4.9. So obviously you see our revenues growth will not cover our expenditure costs. For 2014, just some insight on the numbers you see there. The personnel cost, that assumes the 2.5% healthcare surcharge is returned to employees come next July 1st. 2 weeks ago, we met with our healthcare consulting. They're projecting almost a 7% increase in the county's healthcare cost for next year. That's about an additional $1.5 million of healthcare costs the county will be paying for healthcare for its employees and retirees. And I would assume probably in June when we get January when we get our pension information, we're probably going to see an additional $1.5 million contribution that the county will have to make to the pension fund. So between increased healthcare and increased pension costs, that's an additional $3 million that the county will have to come up with. Those numbers are included in that 127.5 number. There's additional costs. Our healthcare costs is around $23 million a year annually for recurring employees and retirees, and our pension cost is around $15 million for our that we contribute to the pension fund. If you go from 2014 to 2017, you'll see there's a $37.2 million shortfall projected that we'll have to deal with as we move forward in the out years. If we do not do anything, if we do business as usual, by 2017 our reserves will go from $53.9 million, where we currently are, to about $16.7 million if we just fund the next 4 years, balance the budget based on using reserves only. Any questions on the general fund? Checkbook. Okay. Sewer fund checkbook. We began the year knowing we were going to have a shortfall. The budget had passed. Council back in the spring had a $1.8 million shortfall that we'll need to use from reserves to balance the budget. The out years for the sewer fund all showed deficits, revenues not keeping up with expenditures. Again, with the same thing that we had with this general fund, the sewer fund, from the refinancing, we were able to save $200,000 in year 14 and 15 to help us with our costs there that were applied in those fiscal years. Other than that, though, that's pretty much what the sewer fund looks like. We either had to increase rates probably going to the next fiscal year to have a balanced sewer fund budget. If there's any questions on the sewer fund, I'd be happy to answer those right now.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I recognize that when we were budgeting for this, we didn't anticipate some of the cost overrides for the Brandon 100 project. Was that the main driver on this?
Well, that would be included it's in the capital budget, but yes. The bonds issuance to pay for those are included. The debt service is paying for those projects. Okay. So they would be included in those numbers.
So looking in hindsight now, why did we have that budget shortfall of 2.5%?
When we passed the budget last year, we decided to recommend using some reserves to balance the year budget instead of raising rates. That doesn't necessarily, that's not primarily due to the Brandon 100. That's just the way that the budget that was presented, where we were going to use part of reserves in the current year to balance the budget instead of raising rates for the current fiscal year.
Thank you.
I'd like to recognize that Councilman Street has joined us at the table.
All right. Okay.
Any comments, questions from members of council on the general fund and the sewer fund? Yes.
I just have one other thing I want to add. If you remember, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we started the volunteer fire assessment fee to add on to the building permits. Twice a year, the volunteer fire companies are giving money from the building permits. There's a fee attached to those. If we're getting ready to make our first payment for this fiscal year, that amount's going to be $10,666 that each volunteer fire company will receive from this assessment. That is the highest amount for a 6 month period. In 2011, they got $10,600. That was only for half a year. For last year, they got $17,900 for the full year. This year, so far, they'll be getting $10,600 with another payment in April, depending on how the building permits do. So, as we talked about earlier, how there's an increase in building permits activity going on, and that translates to more fees being generated for the volunteer fire company program. So.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any further comments or questions from members of council on the presentation on the quarterly budget by the finance department? Any questions from people around the table? I guess the best thing we could say is we're kind of holding steady, but we do have the outline potential deficits are going to eat away the remaining general reserve unless we take steps to correct that. All right, any other questions on this presentation? Okay, moving on. Newcastle County Council grant requests.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would request that we bypass the grant request for the moment.
Okay.
And go forward, because if the council president and I plan on maintaining our status quo not voting, we do not have enough members to authorize the grants at the table right now.
Oh, very good point. Okay. And do we have any other members of council who can join us in the room?
Sheldon's here.
Okay. I'll honor that request, and we'll move on to expense and revenue roundtable. Does anybody have anything on the expense side? I would like to present to members of council. You should have in front of you this lengthy sheet. And what I want to do is present to you the ongoing success of the Darley Green project by for the county in terms of its revenue, to show members of council the great financial power in doing redevelopment, taking old sites, repurposing them in terms of the increased assessed value and revenue resulting to the county, both from property tax and transfer tax. And on the first page, if you go through those columns, we'll draw your attention to the seventh column, the old assessment, going to another two, to the new assessed value. Okay, so these particular parcels, I'd like to recognize that Councilman Sheldon has joined us in the room. These old parcels on the old assessment were valued at a, you know, pretty small amount, $3,400, $3,700 per under the new assessed value. That ranges anywhere from about $60,000 to $75,000. In the other column, the additional tax that results. In the 10,000 foot view, the old Brookview complex paid Newcastle County in property tax annually about $32,000. And El Milwicki, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong in any way. The additional county taxes annually added, but from the increased assessment to date, is $39,000 plus the old assessed value. Is that correct, Ed?
Yeah.
So now we are realizing approximately $70,000 in property tax from Darley Green. I want council members to also bear in mind that the Darley Green site is only built out on about 5% of the land area. Tonight we're going to have a resolution coming forward that will authorize the building of the next phase on Philadelphia Pike, which would be about a 10-acre parcel. So what I want to give council members the idea that by taking an old site like this, master planning a new urbanist style community, we're going to be able to realize tremendous revenue increases to the county in the out years. Right now, we have received to date, if you go down the final columns on the other pages, approximately $225,000 in real estate transfer tax. So as this project really begins to gather momentum, and as you see, there is some sense that we are emerging from this housing development recession, that in the out years we're going to have really a tremendous increase in revenue to Newcastle County. And I want to, give you an idea of, what's in store. It's all positive for the county. And we are, having a new community being built that is, land use, represents land use planning in a progressive fashion where, people can take advantage of mass transit. There's also commercial amenities in walking distance. There's a park. Now we've got the library under construction. So this community is going to have a tremendous amount of amenities and important assets nearby that folks can take advantage of. And we're getting the increased assessed value, and we're getting the transfer tax on this. So going forward, it's going to really pay all the efforts that went into this. It's going to pay, support this government and do a wonderful job in that regard. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for bringing all of this to our attention. I know we already know this, but it's good to have our memories refreshed. And just to add one comment, we started this project, folks had questions about putting people so close to each other at 16 dwelling units per acre, mixed-use by right, commercial, office, and residential. But the key in a new urbanist concept is to pay attention to architectural excellence, quality of construction material, empower the community to be involved in the master plan. And the county enforces this through essentially a tool known as a manual design guidelines, which allows us to continue to monitor the quality of construction materials and the sanctity of the architectural details. And with the changes that took place through panel organizations, new ownership, they continue, although modified, continue to be to adhere to those guidelines. And so, you know, the bottom line is that compact new urbanist development is left-wing and a right-wing conspiracy. It's good for business and good for the environment as well.
I had a question to the finance department. You know, people are sharper on calculator than me. Can you give me a percentage increased value of the assessed value here from the old assessment? Can someone quickly compute that and give that? While you're doing that, the other question I had is on the $8 million foreclosure sale that recently happened, have we realized the transfer tax revenue from that yet?
Sir, there won't be any transfer tax on that.
There won't
be. When a property goes through sheriff's sale, there is no transfer tax owing the sheriff's sale commission. And that is capped at a maximum, I believe, of $40,000, regardless of the size of the sale.
Well, you learn something new every day. And I didn't know that. I'm sure members of council probably didn't know that. So, okay. Yes, sir.
Just for the gentleman who was speaking, where's that capped? In state law?
That is, I would have to check, sir, I get back to you. I believe it's county.
Oh, we're changing that.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it is a county ordinance.
Did we collect the $40,000 maximum allowed for that sale?
I would have to check with the sheriff's office. There's, as I mentioned before, usually a 2 to 3 month time lag.
2 to 3 months.
But, you know, generally the larger parcels are the ones that are quicker to pay them.
Okay. You're working on that percentage increase value of the assessment?
It's increased by 213%.
213% increased assessed value.
So
okay.
Sounds like my household debt.
And the other thing to stress, you know, we're going and redeveloping a site where we already have infrastructure in place, road networks, mass transit, all that infrastructure is existing there, so that we're complementing and taking advantage of all of those infrastructure assets in building this new community. We're not using green space, putting people in the suburban periphery, which, you know, we see now has a lot of problems associated with sustainability. Yes?
One other thing. The comprehensive plan update uses that concept of taking areas with existing infrastructure and building these compact, walkable, mixed-use, transit-oriented villages, thus making good use of the investment we already have in our infrastructure. And I look forward to implementing that comp plan rather than just letting it gather dust.
One other point I wanted to make in contributing to the, by redeveloping this site, it made it, it took away a lot of water infiltration into the sewer system that the county owns. So that saved us dollars in that regard, because instead of building the sewer system to accommodate all this infiltration, by scraping out all the old sewer lines, which are just leaky messes, we were able to save on that. So all the new infrastructure going into the site, paid for by the developer, is going to be, you know, have all that going to be leak tight and contribute to the good operation of our sewer system. So I just want to give you this picture and, yes, Ed.
Ed, I'm looking for my financial. I just want to add positive to it. We recently had our first resale of a property within Darley Green, and that person is going to end up making $5,000 more than they had paid for that house originally. So that's good news that they're not losing money on those houses either. So that is positive news.
And we have to date 85 properties sold. 56 are first-time home buyers. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Any from the public in the room? We want to move on to our council grants. We have the enough votes to support those.
To ram it through.
Okay.
Like over opposition.
Councilman Sheldon has joined us and
said it twice to make sure. He
rejoined us.
Councilman Tackett has also joined us. Thank
there you.
You
go. You want to say that twice so I don't feel sorry.
Sure. Sure. No problem. Okay. First on the list, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. This is an agency where several of the board members live within my district. It's an adoption. It's not an agency. It's a nonprofit that works with adoption. I guess technically there's some agency to it, but this is a nonprofit that does events. They look at both domestic adoptions and international adoptions, and they have groups that travel and work with officials from other countries. And when those countries, such as Cuba, begin to open up, they're some of the first in there to be able to work on bringing children over to the United States for adoptions. They are having an event. This is their second annual. It's called Celebration Around the World event, where they bring together many of the children that have been adopted over their lifetime and network among themselves. But it's a growing agency. They've done some really nice things. President Kovac and I recently were to an event for the Chinese American Center that's also in my district, and many of the children that are adopted are Chinese and work with this agency, and we were there when an official from London came to invite them over for the 2014 New Year's Day parade. It was a very, very official event with sharing of gifts and all sorts of things, but it's an extremely active organization.
Well, that's wonderful. Do I have a motion on the Madison?
So moved.
So move.
I have a motion and a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those not voting or opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. We have passed a grant for the Madison Adoption Associates. Next, Therapeutic Riding and Carousel. Councilman Retta.
Thank you. What this is a lift to mount and dismount the disabled children and veterans up there. A side note, I am no longer on the board. I haven't been on it for almost a year now. So I know there was a question on that, and that's the reason why I'm sponsoring this, because I'm still involved with fundraising for the program.
Very worthy cause. Do I have a motion?
I would just,
yes.
I'm not voting. I just would comment that based on the application, the lift is actually a cost of about $7,000. So this is just a portion to help with.
Thanks for that clarification.
I think you could buy a lift for $1,000.
Do I have a motion for Therapeutic Riding and Carousel?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Not voting.
All those not voting?
Not voting.
And all those in, opposed. Okay, that Therapeutic Riding and Carousel grant request is passed.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Chair. Yes, Councilman Weiner.
Yeah, I believe we received statistics from Betsy on which of these grant recipients has and has not followed up on their report. Thank you, Betsy, for giving us, and just sort of wondered what sort of effort is made, and should council member who sponsored it be involved, or what are we doing? I sent a request that the one grant that hadn't been followed up
should refile it.
If I can comment, when we adopted the procedures and made the changes, the understanding was the council member would take the responsibility follow up to get the reports in and inform council that there was a problem, that they weren't fulfilling it, but you know, and then that council member would have to move forward. We're going to attempt to recover.
Good.
But my understanding when we did all this and reestablished that that's where the responsibility went, fell to the council member to follow up on their applicant. That's just my understanding. I could be wrong. I was almost wrong once.
Just to follow up, how many are we missing in that regard?
A lot. That's a government conflict. If I put out the list, we have gotten hundreds of them.
Okay.
We have very few. Several at the end of the list, I haven't even hit the 60 days. And I do intend, there is a request from one council aide that I do it differently instead of saying outstanding, that I put the date that it was approved and the date that it should be due. Because some of these are not 60 days out at the end. So I will be doing that as soon as possible. I'd say there's about 10 to 12 that are outstanding.
Okay. Myself included, we should all, you know, get with our grant recipients and urge them to follow up with their reports and abide by the rules of the game that we established here. Okay, thank you for that. We're moving on to other. Councilman Smiley.
Yes. I've checked with legal counsel, and although we can't vote, I would like to have at least some brief discussion on the swearing-in ceremony that needs to take place, since there are at least five of the council positions that are where the members are present. The other one, Councilman Bell, I understand will not be attending any of the committee meetings today. And the other one is the council president's position that technically does not acquire a voting position until after taking the oath anyway. I'd hope this would be on an agenda so we could actively vote on it, try to get something in place so Betsy can make the necessary arrangements. For those that aren't aware, I'll just briefly synopsis it this way. The election takes place that Friday, usually no earlier than that Friday. Betsy gets the certifications from the Department of Elections. The Monday following is a holiday. Technically, once it's certified, then we those of us that stood election now need to be resworn in order to be able to conduct the county's business. Since that's seven positions, that is a majority of the council. So the hope is that we can get this set, get it done. You see, Betsy was kind enough to put a couple scenarios together. I'm just going to speak for me, and one of the reasons behind trying to move this is I realize perhaps there are others like myself who have family members that would like to attend and have jobs where they have to get coverage, they have to request time off, whatever it is they have to do. So I just ask everybody, think about it. The problem is we have to do appropriate advertising in order to make sure we meet the requirements. So I'm just putting it out there. I'd like to discuss it and vote and settle on something either at the October 16th special services or land use meeting. That's far enough out, correct? If the co-chairs would be, you know, obliged to that, quite honestly, Councilman Redd and Councilman Taggart, I would prefer land use just in that. That committee usually always meets, because I'm not sure special services is going to have an agenda to run. But I'd like to get, no, I'm already being told no. So, you know, if we could get that authorization, pardon?
Next week.
Yeah. So if we could do that, so we can move this forward, so Betsy can make the arrangements with the judge and whatever we need, council members could have sufficient time to let those know that their loved ones that want to come, or in my case, those that they're going to pay to attend, you know, so that it will look good. I'd like to do that. I think, you know, again, we don't have that much time from the end to get sworn in to be able to conduct council's business.
Councilman Warner.
Yes. Of course, not taking a vote. I'm just curious if those council members that are directly impacted here today might at least express their preference, if they have one at this point.
I prefer the afternoon, because I tell you right now, my wife can't get off. Now, that may be her choice. I'm not sure.
Afternoon, as
I know she can't get off in the afternoon, in the morning.
4:30 time. Yeah.
But that's not an official vote cast. But you're just kind of taking a poll. But again, we could formalize that next week, and I believe that would still leave Betsy with enough time. But unfortunately, it's not until the end of the week, and then Monday being a holiday. I'm available on a holiday. I just don't know if we'd be able to get everybody in here to do it, or would be willing to do it on a holiday. So if we can have an okay from the land use co-chairs to put it on their agenda for next week?
Yeah, we can do it.
Okay. And everyone take a look at it, and we will be able to finalize it at that time. I stay within my bounds?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. That'll probably be the last time tonight. But that's all I have, Chair.
Okay, thank you. I want to compliment Councilman Smiley and the clerk for bringing this up, because you know we definitely need to take this in hand and schedule it, and then we've got plenty of advance time to work this out. And I would urge other members of council to weigh in at the next meeting in land use and make their preferences known.
And I would just propose the failure to reach agreement, but leave it to Betsy to decide. That way everybody has somebody to blame.
Okay. All right. Getting to the conclusion of the meeting. Anything else under other? Yes.
Ed Melody from the finance office. Just two quick announcements. Last week we were notified that come January, the automatic federal budget cuts go into effect. If you remember, as part of the decision the Congress had, was the automatic cuts would go into effect in January if there wasn't any decision, I guess, on their budget deficit. But one of the programs that cut about 8% is our Recovery Zone Bond Program. Remember, a couple of years ago, we issued the Recovery Zone Bond Program. This is a program the federal government preached to us and wanted the government to take. Well, we would get 45% refund on our interest payments that we would make on that. Well, they're going to cut us about 7 or 8% right now. Those effects are going to affect immediately in January unless something's another decision is made. That's going to cost the sewer fund about $82,000 a year until we pay off these bonds, or a total of about $1.6 million of cuts. The county will have to pick up those costs unless something has changed along the way as far as what programs are cut or what programs are changed.
So, Councilor Smiley. So, the anticipated and original program incentive of 45% is being reduced by 7%.
Right, exactly.
Now, have we talked to Mr. Wilson about filing suit for violating the contract that we entered into with the federal government?
Again, we have 3 months. Those things could change the program, so there's a lot that could be changed. We'll see what happens. So, the other thing I just want to make sure
Look into that for us, will you?
I sent council email this week just to remind everybody that the school tax credit program, the state has changed the filing deadline from September 1st now to April 30th. That's in all the counties. That's all across the board. So any senior that will qualify for that credit has to have their application in to the county by April 30th. Thank you.
Hey, one other question. While you're talking about the fiscal cliff, it's my understanding that about $1.7 million of our salary in the community services department is federally funded.
Yeah.
So what percentage of that is at risk?
Well, again, that's something I thought about. I was going to ask the owner manager, Henry, about that, if any of this program is going to be cut under there. They call it sequestering funds. That's the name they gave to that doing what they're going to be doing. And I was going to check with them and I'll have them report back to council. Maybe this program will be affected anymore come January or cuts.
And that's a large payroll obligation we have. Now currently is funded by the federal government.
I mean, also, we get all the Section 8 programs, HUD programs, they're all come underneath that. I mean, they've been cut over the past 2 years, and I don't know if they're included in this next round of cuts or not. So I'll check with him, though.
Thank you. More grim news. Okay. Still under other going to public comment? Anything for the public? Okay, do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah. Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the meeting is adjourned.
Oh, yes, they will.